This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers have collected the materials they need to break the blood structures destroying Helmfirth. Red executed Richard Chen and stopped the blood rain. Richter figured out what they needed to collect from his shop. And Caddy stole the gear out from under the nose of several giant insects. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Caddy, when you were little, and by that, of course, I mean like, you know, yesterday, before you woke up in this cat body. But also, I think as an intellectual kid, like as a brainy kid, odds are that you kind of have a very, because I remember being a brainy kid, having this exact idea of like, oh, well, like when I was little, when I was like 6, I'm like, no, I was like an inch shorter and I still like Batman. Like nothing has changed. But when you were little, you distinctly remember hearing about the story of Chicken Little. And you always found it very scientifically improbable that the sky could be falling. It could be a meteorite, but the sky itself falling seemed a ridiculous fallacy that only a child could believe. And it was far beneath you, a mystery puncher, no less. Nevertheless, the sky is falling all around you now, and it would seem that there was wisdom in Dear Sweet Chicken Little that you perhaps had not appreciated. But now that you're older and wiser by a fistful of days and stuck in a cat body after being a tummy ghost, you can start to see the value in it. But sure enough, as all of you escape from the Migo of the Helmfirth Curiosity Shop, big sort of thick slabs of something begin to fall from the sky. So much so that at first it seems that the very heavens have cracked. When one of them smashes a car nearby, you're able to get a good enough glimpse, and you recognize that it's a massive scale, shimmering with sort of rainbow colors that appears to have dropped from the cloud cover somewhere high above you. Needless to say, things are getting worse in Helmfirth.
Okay, I got all the magic stuff, and I also heard the giant bugs talking about something with an agent and an old one and Nilarthotep. Do you guys know what that is?
Richta?
Yeah, we know Nilarthotep. Yeah,
Nilarthotep is the fella who you encountered briefly in the museum when you were possessed by the Croatoan. When you were having tea with them, you destroyed an idol in the Egyptian exhibit, and Nilarthotep promised vengeance.
Okay.
Did we piss off yet another thing?
I don't know. We really only stole from the bugs, so maybe just they're mad, but they're stuck because I did the magic words.
Well, all we can do is hope that the enchantment on my shop is strong enough that they will not be able to escape. We should be on our way, though. We should head to any of the other locations, yep. The docks, the center of town. We need to disassemble these structures.
And yes, you are aware of how to do this, correct? Because I must admit that this is not exactly my specialty.
Well, little feline Addy, did you bring the item that I requested?
Yeah, I got the purple ash pouch. And he'll just like reach down and kind of like pull it out and be like, and I got the holy water. And he'll take that out and be like, and I got the weird vase with a mouth on it that's all stoppered up in the Bjorn thing. And see, we could go to the town square blood castle or the pink and smooth blood snow or the port where there's something in the water.
Just the regular port.
Yeah.
Or we could go get ice cream.
What do we do about the giant scales?
Avoid them. I would think a knee-jerk reaction. Do not be under them when they fall from the sky.
Well, I'll do my best.
Okay, so a bunch have fallen. They're not constantly raining down, but much like, you know, as you look up into the darkened clouds, you can see a massive shape shifting from time to time in flashes of lightning. Richter, given that you're very low on sanity, this makes a degree of sense to you. If the ley lines and the nexus point are weakened and opening, many things could be on their way through. You would venture a guess that this thing is not all the way through because it is not currently, you know, bringing an end to the planet.
Right.
But something's making its way in, and you've already seen its massive eye. So not a great scene all around. So yes, the scales will be falling from time to time, but they're not. It's not like constant debris. It's intermittent. Yeah.
Okay, so drive good, Red. Do we just throw the magic stuff on the spooky blood, Richter? Or how do we do the magic business?
You know, we didn't have a lot of time and I couldn't do the necessary research. These three items are just my best guess at how one might reverse or cut off certain ceremonies and these sorts of things. I think if we wipe the ash on any sort of inscriptions and things like that, it is the immolated remains of a heretic. And so the heretical ash may counteract or negate certain etchings or scryings and things like this.
Okay, do you want me to rub stuff on the words or whatever? Because I'm not afraid of touching some burnt up hairy bug.
Right. I don't know what you're physically capable of, small demon boy. Can you get your little, your little paw into that bag, okay? Or
yeah, you'll see he could dig a hand into the pouch and then just like, he mimes smearing it on the back of one of the cars.
Yeah, okay, don't waste it. That's all we have left of that heretic. It's a very small
pouch. Oh, wow, this was all from one? This must have been really big.
He was, as far as I can tell, extremely heretical.
Okay, so we go, we throw some holy water on the site, we rub some ash on the inscription, we do whatever that mouth thing does, which I'm...
Yeah, don't open that.
Why don't you take the spooky mouth?
Are we going to open it, Richter, at some point?
Yeah, probably.
I'm just saying...
I will take it.
I like to as contrary to what we've been doing, I do want to have a plan going into this, because there's a solid chance that I'm going to be shooting at things while you two are going to be trying to save the planet. So,
okay, so if Richter has the spooky mouth and you have guns, then I can have the water and the ash to try to sneak around and ruin things.
Yeah, that works for me. The key thing to remember here, you two, is that as you can see, well, don't look, because that would probably do irreparable damage to your mind. But as you can't or shouldn't see, there is some kind of unimaginable creature crossing over the void into our world. As you can see from the falling scales, it is there's a sort of chafing, there's a sort of friction between the creature and the portal or the opening that it is trying to come through. This would suggest to me that the process of bringing it here is not yet finished, meaning these sites, these ley lines, they will be protected until the deed is done.
Red's just going to start driving faster.
Do you think it's a dragon?
I don't think there is a word for what that creature may be.
Oh, so it's like an octopus.
No, so you used a word once again, small cat boy.
Well, what are we going to call it?
I think if we just point to the sky or say, you know, that unspeakable evil, we'll all kind of know what we are talking about, yeah?
I don't know. That all kind of makes it sound scary. What if we give it a not-so-scary name so it's less scary?
Well, like, what was it you said before? Like, there's a King Pee-Pee or something? So like, you said something like that. I cannot
what? Really remember. I would never say... Oh, I would never say... And he, like, puts his paw up and covers his mouth. It's like, Pee-Pee.
He comes away with, an ash mustache.
It's like, you mustn't waste... The heretic. Give me your pot, and I like dust it off back into the bag.
Richter, do you have any sort of idea which one we should go to first? Because otherwise I'm just driving to this blood castle thing.
From the store, Tom, what's the closest one? I'm assuming not port.
The sort of snowed in area of town is in the north. Absolute closest is Town Square.
Yeah,
with the worms. The port is actually second closest, only because the other part's like north, in the north end of the city.
Okay. Well, we shouldn't waste any time. We might as well go to the closest one, the center of town.
Right. The center of it all.
Let's go there, and then we can stop.
I was going to say, she's gonna gun it and kind of change directions and go towards the center of town. And looking back, she's going to say, Caddy, what's your favorite food?
Sprinkles.
All right. No. What's your second favorite food, honey?
Chocolate.
All right. That's what that thing is called.
Oh, no. We got to stop chocolate?
It's what you said you wanted it to have something nice.
Yep, that's right. If that's what the world needs, we'll all help those who have diabetes. And her like my uncle. Like he lost his foot. He said it was from a fire, but they told me the real reason.
With white knuckles gripped, Red, you ignore the childhood conspiracies that would have felt oh so juicy back in the day. A secret from an adult? Oh my. To focus on the unending eldritch horrors that are tearing their way into your world. So, Red, with everything falling from the sky and also the general panic, as you start to drive into the city or into the town proper, there are all manner of monsters running around. As you boot the car into gear, it's a little bit like the beginning of a zombie movie, or like anytime they do like Bird Box kind of kicked off this way, where it's just like the panic of everything happening all at once. So there are like crashed cars everywhere, people running, panicking, winged creatures with skin like stone swoop down, plucking the citizens of Helmfirth up off the streets. Some are dropped to their doom, others pulled away into dark recesses for dark purposes. Every so often between the buildings, you see massive two-story hairy spider legs carrying a body of some sort that you don't dare to fully look at. You pass a few not quite satyrs, but goat people standing erect, wearing touristy clothing, hoods thrown back on their raincoats. Caddy, you recognize them as the family you saw escaping from the motel. And they seem to be hugging another few goat people who are all braying in joy. It's a weird little family reunion. But it would seem that creatures from far and wide are answering the call of the ley lines. For creatures that perhaps have been trapped either interdimensionally or across the vastness of space, the terminal is open, and they are flooding into the town. So, Red, I need a driving check from you, please, just to see how effectively you're able to get through this mess.
Oh dear! Oh dear! Drive auto. Oh no, that is a fail. I saw diving and I was like, oh my god, and then I saw my driving and I was still like, oh my god.
All right, so as you that's very funny, that was absolutely the stat I was looking at on my screen too. As you kind of try and make your way through, eventually the street is just too clogged with there's like a crashed fire engine that ironically is on fire. And the streets are generally clogged. So unfortunately, having failed your check, you'll have to get out and proceed on foot.
Okay.
And paw, I suppose.
Yeah.
So Richter and Caddy, I think this is probably more for Caddy than Richter. How inclined are you to engage with the chaos that's occurring around you? You're seeing a lot of innocent people in distress, which doesn't seem like something a mystery puncher should ignore. At the same time, you're a tiny cat person.
I think Caddy knows that they have to stop chocolate. And if they don't stop chocolate, then everything just keeps getting worse. So he's going to focus on stopping chocolate.
Great. Okay. So the three of you sort of like push past the crowd, push past creatures, trying your best to ignore the shattered storefronts and burning buildings around you. And you gradually make your way to Town Square. You kind of come around a corner and you can see people running. There's some looting occurring. People are trying to take advantage of the situation. As you watch the kind of mob and madness, it's kind of hard to see over all the people kind of running to and fro. But as your eyes adjust, you begin to see movement. And sort of in glimpses between the crowd, you start to see writhing it almost looks like waves just sort of coming up out of the ground, and then people an old-timey radio gets tossed in the air by a looter as they're pulled down. And as you begin to force your way towards the town square, you can see a massive rolling wave of worms that are coalescing into shapes, grabbing people and seemingly stripping the flesh and muscle from their bones in a matter of moments.
Are these like the worms that your worms that they had in their brains?
No, these are different worms. Okay. Different worms, unfortunately. Still spooky, but different case. Yes.
I think Red has like, fair. I think Red's holding Caddy. It just kind of looks at Richter and says, you got to lead the way here, Richter. I do not know what I'm doing.
I am a lot stealthier if I'm not being held by someone in the air.
I do not. Something could swoop down and pick you up, Caddy.
I can dodge real good. I can dodge real good. Remember how I went into that store and didn't die?
Fine, she'll put him down.
Yay!
Great.
He'll run away because he doesn't trust you entirely to not pick him up again at the first sign of danger, but he'll stay within like 15 feet.
Great. So as you begin to move in toward the mass, you can see almost like a breeze has blown over it. It all kind of turns and focuses on Richter and slowly begins to coalesce. Bones and half-eaten limbs from victims begin to pierce out of its sides as it begins to give itself form and shape of sort of a massive cylindrical kind of hunched body. Sort of skittering bony human arms and legs that are threaded through with worms and maggots as a round sort of grasping mouth with no teeth, but just yet more worms and maggots begins to form into a gaping, grasping hole and it begins to rush you. What do you do?
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium. I am Inquisitor Caveat Ventus, Keeper of the Inquisition's Black Library, and I'm releasing my report on the Valentine Heresy. It's an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Join Ryan LaPlante as Inquisitor Lucius Valentine and Laura Elizabeth and Tyler Hewitt as hive-bred siblings Lyric and Alto as this unlikely trio try to save the Emperor from a cabal of mysterious enemies in a series created by Games Master Tom McGee. Can these unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war? Find out in the first episode of Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy. Available now.
Caddy would like to go wide around it. He has no interest in this fight. He would like to sneak between cars and other things and just stay the fuck out of sight and try to get past it, because maybe if he smears dust on the right thing, this thing will go away.
Great.
I mean, I'm going to be protecting Richter.
Cool. Okay. And Richter, what are you going to do?
I will say, everyone cover your ears, and I'm going to open the jar.
All right. So, Caddy, I'm going to need a stealth check from you.
That is a hard success.
Great. And then I am also going to need a listen. Hey, listen.
Yay. That is a success.
Cool. So you do manage to hear this as you slip away into the crowd. And sorry, I should have mentioned this before, but of course, looming over the town square is the castle constructed of blood. It's small by castle standards because it fits a town square. But you begin making your way toward it, looking for anything that you could interfere with your supplies.
Cool. Yeah. If I'm covering my ears, then Caddy is running on his hind legs with his two front paws covering his ears. So it's like an awkward little person running.
Amazing. at which point, Richter, you open the jar. What comes out of the jar?
A chorus, innumerable chorus of screams. But the jar remains open and the screams never stop. So the problem is, it sounds like human screams at first because you're like, oh yeah, whatever. But it doesn't stop. It just keeps going. And so then it stops having that quality of like a sound a human can make. And that's when it starts to have like a negative effect on your sanity because you're never supposed to hear this sound. And it is loud and basically just fills the outside air with this chorus of screams.
Damn, man, that is metal as hell. Here's the problem, though, that I have with this whole little scenario. Mm-hmm. You told everyone else to stop up their ears, Odysseus style, you know, get that mm-hmm. wax out. Totally yep. cool. The problem with opening a jar is it takes two hands.
It does.
So let's get that sanity check there, bud.
Please don't go fully insane, Richter. We need you.
Well, I rolled a 91.
Want to spend some luck?
Yeah, I'll spend all of my remaining luck to bring it down to 88. Which is, hang on, sanity's at 4. That's a fail.
Cool. I know you're joking about the luck spend, so you can keep it.
And do what?
You lose, astonishingly, on the die I rolled for you, you lose 3. So you're hanging on.
Okay.
Oh, hanging but on Tyler, you can spend luck. You can spend 2 luck for each point of sanity you don't want to lose.
This is true.
All right. So I'll spend 2 for 1 point of luck. I'll spend 2 luck for 1 point of sanity that I don't want lost. So 2 sanity is what I'm left with instead of 1.
How much luck do you have? Because you could burn.
I've got 3 luck.
Oh, yeah. All right. 2. I mean, two sanity.
So 1 luck left, 2 sanity left.
Just me at the end of tax season. 2 sanity, no luck. Shoebox full of receipts and a pocket full of dreams, baby. all right. So Red and Caddy, I'm going to need from both of you, please, a... I think we're probably just going to go with a...
You wanted to listen check, but we'll call it a don't listen check?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I was looking at your core statistics for something that would be appropriate for, like, fortitude, like mental fortitude or, you know, resisting temptation. But there doesn't seem... Yeah, int was the closest I could find. So I think let's go with int. And it's just... Okay. It really is your body just being like, I should listen to this, and your
mm-hmm. scrap I like your method better than mine.
Hard success.
That is. Oh yeah, that's a hard success as well.
Okay, amazing. So, each of you will then lose only 2 points of sanity.
Hey, we're all the same.
Yay. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Less from hearing it and more from observing the effect it has, because unfortunately, some people did heed Richter's warning, but certainly not everyone. So slowly but surely, the square kind of descends into almost like a mosh pit's worth of writhing and screaming as more and more people join the chorus. holding their head and just adding their screams to the madness. the creature will, I guess, roll a check.
You mean the ever screaming vase Tyler invented isn't a thing in your book, Tom?
Surprisingly, no. So it manages to squeak by two. I rolled just under. So it does pass, but it will take 3 points of damage. Just as
I'm sure we got this thing on the ropes, guys.
As it runs forward, you see the sort of like the wailing scream comes out of the jar. Richard, do you drop the jar or are you like holding this thing open like a cannon?
I'm holding it open like a cannon, like almost like a fireman's hose. I'm kind of holding
sure.
it open.
Yep.
So
okay.
the mouth right. of the jar is aimed at this thing. If it is undeterred with this sort
it
of...
It will be deterred. It just doesn't take a bunch of damage. So okay.
I was gonna say, if this maw is coming at me, my plan is to then throw the screaming jar into its open mouth.
You can still do that. I'll still okay. fully allow that. I just wanted to let you know that like it doesn't take a tremendous amount of damage, largely because like worms and maggots start to burst, but there are so many that it's just like you know, it's sizzling and popping all along its body, but it's not enough to stop it. But it does slow it as at least even the ones deep inside react to this blast of sound that I'm sure they can like feel vibrating through them. So it rears up in front of you almost to a stop and then begins to lurch back toward you. Before you throw the jar, we're going to switch over to Red. Red, what do you do?
I've got my hands over my ears. Basically, I think I don't know what is going on. So I'm waiting to see what happens with Richter. And if I need to pull him out of the way, I will. But I'm just kind of standing by.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. So basically, like, following his lead, letting him lead the play. But if and when he needs help, you've got his back. So you're kind of like essentially ready in action to assist. All right, cool. Love it. All right. Richter, the creature is upon you with its giant swirling maw. What do you do?
I hurl that jar into its giant swirling maw.
What is the official name of the jar, by the way?
I don't know.
I've got one if you're dry.
Yeah.
Do you want all three of us to just throw in one word and you just got to put it together at the end?
Is that my call to make? Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
It's your
yeah.
item.
All right. Yeah. I will call it the psychic. Claire gets to add the next word.
Blood.
Chorus.
Tyler, you got to bring it home.
Psychic blood chorus.
Blood chorus.
Sounds fantastic. I love it. I'll add the exclamation mark and an upside down question mark at the beginning.
So it's Spanish.
Yeah, but like it's Spanish if you changed your mind from it being a question to an exclamation halfway through the sentence. Like you're starting out being like, the psychic blood chorus. Like you really made up your mind halfway through. So the psychic blood chorus goes, you're going to need to roll. Oh boy. You need a throw from you there, sir.
Roll this and look it up after. That's a 99. So I'm going to say fail without even looking at the stat. In fact, I believe that's a fumble.
It is.
Just for fun, let's see what throw would have been. I would need to roll under a 20.
Fair enough. You throw the jar, but much like people really fucking up that first pitch at a baseball game, it just kind of like rolls up and off the back of your fingies. Admittedly, you've never thrown a jar before, so you know it's everyone's learning. The jar begins to fall. Now, Red, you watch this jar tumble. Like time slows. Creatures rearing up. You see what Richter's attempting to do. You have a split second to react as he fumbles it. What do you do?
I reach out to grab it.
Okay. Can I get a dex, just a straight dex roll from you?
Oh, that's a hard success.
Great. Good news is you managed to catch the jar. Bad news is now you got hands off your ears. So I need a sanity check, please.
Oh, dear.
No, not on the keyboard.
Our real life caddy is running around.
Actually, I rolled a 12. So that's a success. My sanity's a 19.
Okay, great.
Nice.
You'll still lose 1 point, but it is not as bad as you thought. I think you expected, like, I don't know, unearthly screaming or something worse. But weirdly, it just kind of sounds like people you've shot. This is fine. You know, this is a Unix system. I know this.
Actually kind of nice.
Yeah. It's a bloody lullaby for you. So you catch the jar. Mm-hmm. And as you do so, the creature closes its mouth around Richter's arm. So Richter, I need a con from you, please.
Surely I can't roll all 90s all night, right? Can't be 90s night at the Mythos Mysteries.
The Spice Girls come out of nowhere.
Yeah. This is better, but not much better.
Ye old Spice Girls from the 1890s.
Mm. What am I rolling for again?
It was just salt. That was the only one they had. Salt spice. This is con, sir.
Con. Oh, that's up here.
Yeah.
So that's a fail.
Okay. So one moment.
Tyler, if you die, how are we gonna save Hitler?
How are we gonna do anything? You're a cat and I shoot guns.
All right. So Richter, you're gonna take 3 points of damage.
Okay.
As your arm begins to get eaten away. Ugh. It feels wriggly and at first just strange and then excruciatingly painful. Red, it has locked onto Richter's arm and is having a snack. You can see its whole body lurching forward. Like the mouth grabbed the arm to like keep him in place, but the rest is just like ready to wash up and over him. The little like desiccated spindle arms and legs are like starting to climb up and reach around him.
Does it have like eyes?
No, it is made of worms and maggots.
Okay. I don't have my samurai sword on me, do I?
I don't believe you said you had that.
That's fair.
Yeah. I think you actually left it in the shop a while back.
Okay, then she's going to just try to grab Richter around the middle and pull him out in a way.
Cool. Are you dropping the jar or are you trying to do this while holding the jar?
Okay. This might be a terrible idea, but is the mouth of the jar wide enough that she can put her hand through it? Like put it.
Tyler,
in it?
You invented this object.
Yeah.
Okay. So what she's going to do is she's just going to like put the jar, you know, like put her hand in the jar and then just use both free hands and try to get him out.
Use your jarred hand and your other hand. Okay, great. You jam your hand in the jar, you reach around Richter, and then I think this is probably going to be, what kind of check would we call this? Cause it's gotta be physical. Like it can't just be a sleight of hand because you're not sleight of handing. And there's no straight athletics.
Strength?
Yeah, I would take strength incidentally, or alternatively, I suppose. I would actually also take fighting brawl because this is basically no different from like tackling someone.
I'm going to go with strength because my fighting brawl is actually pretty bad.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Come on. Oh no. Nothing. 90. Nope. That's a big old fail.
You grab Richter and you pull, expecting him to come free because it's just a swirling mass of worms, not expecting the sheer weight of this creature. As you wrap your arms around him and pull, it's like pulling on a tree, which is a huge disappointment and frustration. For one as capable as yourself, but not nearly as much as the feeling of the tidal wave of worms that washes over and envelops both of you. Seems the future of the Mystery Punchers rests in the tiny paws of Caddy Sprinkles.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin B, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire on Friendly, Great Dane, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Welcome to Beyond the Dark.
Sub-level 19 was nothing like the other floors at Machine Co. There were no alabaster workbenches, no spotless white carpets. Here, it was dank, dark. And that noise. A humming, throbbing sound like a sickly heartbeat hiding behind the whir of a great machine. A large metal cage loomed out of the darkness, backlit by an iridescent blue monitor, on which a cursor blinked idly. A metal panel slid out of an aperture in the cage near the monitor, and suddenly the cursor came to life. It read, "Insert hand here."
Beyond the Dark, a sci-fi anthology by Mark R. Healy, creator of The Strata. Find it at beyondthedarkpodcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts.